KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:05, we have dense fog here in Atlantic, about a tenth of a mile visibility. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. There is a dense fog advisory in effect until 9 o'clock for the entire listening area. That includes Cass and surrounding counties. And a dense fog advisory means that visibilities will be reduced to less than one quarter of a mile at times. So if you're driving, slow down, use your headlights, and give plenty of distance between your vehicle and the vehicle in front of you. In the news, police in Red Oak Friday evening arrested 43-year-old Marcus Eugene Johnson of Red Oak. Johnson was taken into custody at around 7:35 p.m. in the 300 block of 4th Avenue on a felony charge of theft in the second degree. He was brought to the Montgomery County Jail, where bond was set at $5,000. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office says a man and woman from Pottawatomie County were arrested late Friday on separate charges following a traffic stop. 37-year-old Danielle Renee Adams of Council Bluffs was arrested on a Page County warrant for two counts of theft in the fifth degree. Adams was turned over to the Page County Sheriff's deputies and was being held in the jail there on $600 cash bond. And 21-year-old John Leroy Adams, also of Council Bluffs, was arrested for driving while barred. He was being held in the Montgomery County Jail on a $1,000 cash bond. Fremont County Sheriff Kevin Astrup reports that Friday evening, the Fremont County K-9 unit conducted a traffic stop on Interstate 29 at around the Nebraska City exit in Fremont County. During the course of the stop, 50-year-old John Tracy Miller of Hamburg was found to be in possession of 59 grams of methamphetamine. Miller was previously released from corrections in January of this year for delivery of meth. He was transported to the Fremont County Law Enforcement Center following his arrest last night and was being charged with possession of meth with the intent to deliver. Miller's bond was set at $100,000 cash only. The case is still ongoing with pending charges in other incidents. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office was assisted during that incident by the Mills County K-9 unit. A vehicle that ran out of gas on Interstate 29 in Harrison County was struck by another vehicle early Friday morning, resulting in two injuries. The State Patrol reports a 2013 Honda CRV driven by 52-year-old Joel Johnson of Medina, North Dakota, ran out of gas in the right lane of I-29 southbound near the 97-mile marker at around 4 a.m. Friday. A 2018 Toyota RAV4 driven by 25-year-old Katie Thomas of Minot, North Dakota, was also traveling southbound on the interstate. She swerved to avoid the collision, but in the process struck the rear of the Honda, which was pushed into the west ditch and came to rest facing north. The Toyota spun around after the accident and came to rest facing north on I-29. Johnson was wearing a seatbelt, but a passenger in the Toyota, 26-year-old Brandon Thomas of Minot, was not wearing a seatbelt. Johnson was transported to the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha, while Brandon Thomas was transported to Burgess Health Center in Ottawa. And an additional note, a party involved in the accident is looking for a dog that ran off during that accident, a German Shepherd with a dark face and red collar named Ralph. You can contact Wendy Simmons at 816-728-9309 if you have any additional information. Well, emotions boiled over at a sentencing hearing for a Sioux City teenager who was charged with sexually abusing a 3-year-old girl he was babysitting in June of last year. The Amari Dean, who was 17 when the abuse occurred, was given a deferred judgment and probation. That did not sit well with about two dozen others in the courtroom who are victims, relatives, and friends of the family. The judge called for backup, and later the father of the 3-year-old victim was among those who was ordered to leave the courtroom.
Things need to change. This whole process, we felt like we were the ones that were the criminals. From all the police guards here yelling at us or trying to calm us down and the attitudes we've had towards us. No little girl deserves to go through this.
The girl's father says Dean should have been sentenced to prison.
Our justice system proves that it's okay to do these things to a 3-year-old little girl that can't speak. My daughter was deaf until she was 2. And when she was 3, she had only been speaking for a year. And he chose his victim.
Several officers from the Woodbury County Sheriff's Office and Sioux City Police Department were summoned to the courthouse to deal with the disturbance. Woodbury County Deputy Cliff Moody was in the courtroom and responsible for taking Dean from the county jail to the court hearing.
Understandably, the family was upset. And so just as out of an abundance of caution, we called in more officers to make sure that things didn't get out of hand. There was no assaults, no physical altercations of that sort, just a lot of comments being made back and forth to let us know that they were displeased with the verdict. But other than that, everything did go very peacefully.
Dean was escorted out of the courthouse by authorities. And the owner of a martial arts training studio in Southwest Iowa says he's seeing renewed interest from women who want to learn how to defend themselves following Molly Tibbetts' murder. Jim Sutton, who runs Kung Fu Damsels in Council Bluffs, says many women rely on familiar standbys like pepper spray, stun guns, and even metal keychains, all of which can be effective.
Just try to inflict pain. The whole idea is to hand them 15 to 30 seconds of focused resistance. Not today. Let them know that there's going to be a fight, because they did not come for a fight. In most instances, they came because they thought there was something they could take.
Investigators believe the 20-year-old Tibbetts, a University of Iowa student, was attacked and killed while jogging last month near her hometown in Brooklyn. The suspect was arrested this week, who reportedly says he followed Tibbetts in his car, parked and got out, ran alongside the young woman, and confronted her. He later led authorities to Tibbetts' body in a Poweshiek County cornfield. Sutton says there are multiple legal options women and men may choose to use in self-defense.
Some people choose the firearms route. You know, just having something with you that you can turn around, you can brandish. You know, I can face an attacker with a stun gun and fire that nasty little blue spark and say, come here, jerk, right? Or not today, let's fight. You know, I'm ready to fight you. That's what you want to communicate to them.
Using those tools, he says, gives you the time to make a safe escape, and Sutton says that should be your ultimate goal. He spouts phrases like stun and run, shock and rock, and hit and get.
If you get two or three good shots into that person's ribcage, when you see them recoiling, get out of there. If you fire a pepper spray and you hit them straight in the face, don't be standing in the last spot they saw you. If you have a stun gun, jam that into them, fire it, hold it for 2 to 3 seconds, and then get distance between you and that person.
Sutton preaches to always be aware of your surroundings, and for runners especially, always run with one earbud out so you can hear if traffic or trouble may be approaching. He also suggests using the buddy system, as there is strength in numbers. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning, Charles Ray Raymond Gary, age 77, of Red Oak, died Tuesday at the Good Samaritan Society in Red Oak. Funeral services for Ray Gary will be today at 10 o'clock at the Recon Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Violet Fiscus, age 96, of Harlan, died Sunday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community. Funeral services for Violet Fiscus will be today at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Kirkman. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Ronald Joseph McBride, age 65, of Temple, Texas, and previously of Atlantic, died Tuesday at a veterans hospice facility. A memorial visitation for Ronald McBride will be held today from 1 until 3 p.m. at the Crotty Funeral Home in Belton, Texas. There will also be a family celebration of life with a military honor guard at the Botna Bend Park in Hancock on September 9th from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Barbara J. Madsen, age 87, of Audubon, died August 16th at the Exira Care Center. A Celebration of Life memorial gathering for Barbara Madsen will be today from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. James Jim Craig Johnson, age 46, of Kansas City, Missouri, and formerly of Griswold, died August 17th. A Celebration of Life for Jim Johnson will be held on Sunday from 1:30 to 4:30 p.m. at the Griswold Community Building. Recon Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Rebecca Becky Perkins, age 57, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at Atlantic Specialty Care. A Celebration of Life for Becky Perkins will be on Monday at 11 a.m. at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Joyce Peterson, age 82, of Atlantic, died August 18th at Atlantic Specialty Care. Funeral services for Joyce Peterson will be Monday at 2:30 at Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic. And Janet Jan Ruth Kearns, age 70, of Ocala, Florida, a native of Greenfield, died August 20th. Funeral services for Jan Kearns will be on Tuesday at 11 a.m. at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Greenfield, with the Slade O'Donnell Funeral Home of Leon in charge of the arrangements. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.